A recent investigation published by the Associated Press revealed that the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, had covertly created and funded a Twitter-like social media platform in Cuba known as Zunzaneo. USAID, the government agency that delivers humanitarian aid around the world, built a social media program in 2010 using shell companies in the Cayman Islands, which allowed Cubans to send text messages to others in the network. USAID's plan was to build a subscriber base of perhaps more than 100,000 Cubans and then send messages designed to inspire political opposition and protest against Cuba's government through the organizing of flash mobs and other tactics. Although USAID officials have denied that their Cuban Twitter platform was covert, the unmistakable goal of the so-called Democracy Promotion Program was to stir political unrest in Cuba. The estimated 40,000 to 68,000 Zunzaneo subscribers were unaware that their smartphone app was part of a secret U.S. government operation that collected information on their gender, age, receptiveness, and political tendencies. The Zunzaneo program ran out of funds in 2012, but the Cuban government has charged that the U.S. continues to operate similar illegal and subversive social media programs within the island nation. U.S. Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, charged that the program was a cockamamie idea doomed to discovery and failure. Your reporter spoke with Mark Hansen, the Washington Office on Latin America's senior associate for Cuba, who takes a critical look at the USAID Twitter platform and its possible impact on U.S.-Cuba relations.
It's been disputed by USAID exactly what the push was, how much they misrepresented the program to various CEOs that they were trying to sell it to, how much data was actually collected, things of that nature. And so it's a bit unclear at the moment, but it's safe to say that USAID did this below surface, they would say, because the Cubans would monitor and block it. And it's true that the Cubans probably don't like USAID involving themselves very much in creating these platforms. But the fact of the matter is that it went on for a couple of years. They ultimately ended with 40,000 subscribers, though USAID put out a release today suggesting that at a peak it was closer to 68,000 subscribers. And they were able to push out message to those and allow those 68,000 people to use it. Now, it became apparent that as the U.S. government was paying for this program, they were effectively paying CubaCell, which ironically would be in violation of our embargo to pay the Cuban government money to provide this service. And they realized that it just wasn't sustainable. And they tried to roll it out. They tried to sell it off to a private company, and there was no sort of business model that made this work. And so they folded it when the funding dried up, is the story that they say.
Mark, I read an account from the Cuban government that declared that this particular project, Zunzaneo, was not the only one that the USAID was responsible for, or maybe other branches of the U.S. government, to covertly insert themselves in Cuban politics. Do we know what other programs were afoot in Cuba, or maybe still are afoot?
No, I don't think we do. There was one by the Spanish word pyramid that has been reported in some Spanish language media in Mexico and other places that might have been doing a similar type sort of crowd networking application. But we don't know a lot about it. Now, it should be said that the Cuban government has known for quite a while, and it's not exactly clandestine, because the U.S. government actually produces in its reports that it's trying to circumvent Cuban controls on communication. And so it's just never been exposed, the details of which they're doing it. So I think both governments get into these situations where the Cubans know this is going on, U.S. knows that it's illegal and that the Cubans don't like it, but because we're sort of in this Cold War footing, and it is a serious throwback to the Cold War, they keep going at it. And I don't think the full extent to which U.S. programming in Cuba is known, nor do I think it will become known. You know, from the perspective of improving U.S. foreign policy and our relations throughout the hemisphere, it's a black eye. And these are the types of revelations that are constantly and inevitably going to occur when you have these ongoing programs. And it should be pointed out that the goals of the programs, even the internal goals, weren't met. I mean, they're not inspiring any higher level discourse of politics in Cuba as they suggest that they're intended to. So they're not meeting the grade. They give us a black eye. And quite honestly, the U.S. is not in a strong position to be messaging in Cuba because the Cubans, the vast majority of Cubans know full well that the embargo is in place and that there's an awful lot to U.S. foreign policy about trying to undermine the Cuban government. And for a lot of Cuban people, they know that it's also the embargo and a number of other policies that are in place have made life very hard on Cubans for a very, very long time.
Mark Hansen, when power shifted in Cuba from Fidel Castro to his brother Raul, there's been some openings in the economic system and communications. There's now cell phones. The internet, I guess, to some limited degree, has been opened up in Cuba. I wonder how you think these revelations will set back Cuba's program of loosening up restrictions on communications for their people.
I actually think that I'm a little more optimistic. I think that the reforms that are underway in Cuba being driven by Raul Castro are on a track that is going to be very difficult for hardliners to pull back from. But what I do believe is that the hardliners within the Cuban government have been given an awful lot of fodder for internal debates with the reformers. We are in a position now where we're undermining the reformers and we're providing the hardliners within the Cuban government an awful lot of ammunition. And quite honestly, it's the ugly underside of the embargo. I mean, we wouldn't have to do these types of things if we didn't have an embargo. There would be far more open communication in Cuba if there wasn't the embargo. On the Cuban side of this, I think they're going to plow ahead. I just think that the hardliners are going to have an easier time for a couple of months making the argument that these social media things are potentially destabilizing and potentially things that the U.S. is doing. But in the end, I think reformers are on the march, and they're doing some exciting things, and they're trying to work hard to preserve the social equities that they've developed and a sense of solidarity and equality throughout society. At the same time, they know that the economy needs to be more productive. So I think it's a very interesting time to be watching Cuba, and I hope that this doesn't derail anything in any significant way, and I don't think it will.
That was Mark Hansen, the Washington Office on Latin America's Senior Associate for Cuba. Find more information about USAID's Cuba social media program and Mark Hansen's recent article on the topic by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.